Do we? Continue in French.
Continuer.
Continuer en français.
I'm going to start singing Pink now. No? Okay. No. All right. I'm going to call the Metro Council meeting of May 16th, 2019 to order, and we are all present and accounted for. Welcome, everybody. I will ask Acting COO Andrew Scott to provide the safety briefing.
Great. Ooh, first time. Please note that we are on the third floor of the building. In the event of a fire or fire alarm, please exit out through the door in the northeast corner of the room, go down the steps to the second floor, and exit through the main entrance by the reception desk. We'll meet in the courtyard outside of that entrance. In the event of a medical or fire emergency, please call 911 and notify the security agent at the front desk. The nearest defibrillator is mounted on the steps leading from the reception down to Grand Avenue. A fire extinguisher is located in the corridor along the side of the dais just behind the wall.
Thank you. We will now open up public communication on non-agenda items. If you wish to testify, please fill out a blue card and hand it to the clerk, and we can get that going. Folks that are called will have 3 minutes to provide testimony, again, on a non-agenda item, and I have three people signed up, and we'll start with Terrell Garrett.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What is recycling? According to both DEQ and Metro, recycling is any process by which waste materials are transformed into new products in such a manner the original products may lose their identity. Personally, I have my own definition. Recycling is the use of a waste product for something other than its original purpose that has a net environmental effect superior to landfilling as garbage. Last week at Waste Expo in Las Vegas, the primary topic was finding new markets for construction and demolition materials with the focus on the most difficult to recycle materials, wood and fines. This is not just a local problem, it's a national problem. Today, I speak only to the issue of fines or screenings. Under the archaic recovery methods used by most local facilities, fines are not captured and remain in the flow as garbage. New innovative advanced dry waste recovery technologies rely upon multiple sequential separations by size, shape, and density. Skip a process, the system fails. With current methodology, the most untouched area for recycling is the 6-inch and smaller materials. Too small to pick by hand, automation with a series of machines which use magnets, screens, air, and water are the only way to economically recover this material. The second step in this process is to remove the fines. Leave them in and you create a dust bomb in one place and mud in another. Take them out and not only does the system work, you have a recycled material ready for use as well as the ability to recover even more materials for recycling. Processing dry waste is not cheap. It costs approximately $30 per ton to run the material through any reasonable system. If ADC becomes taxed, that adds $582 per ton or 19% to these costs. A 19% increase in cost is a massive blow to any financial investment. House Bill 3084 is a bill that protects recycling and fosters an environment for investment in advanced dry waste recovery. Metro's lobbyist has been very vocal in his opposition to this recycling bill, which doesn't make any sense to us. Soon there will be the final hearing on this bill at the Revenue Committee, and I ask that the Metro Council instruct its lobbyist to change his position to one of pro-recycling. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, and I'll ask both folks to come up, Ron Swarren and Tyler Wilkins in that order.
Good afternoon. Right here, Ron Swarren, 1543 Southeast Unadilla Street. I did try to get in some comments last night on the 2020 transportation measure, and I noticed a lot of the active transportation people signed up early. And I'm sympathetic to a lot of things that they said. However, I think they were missing some issues, too. A factor in urban planning besides planning and policy that people really overlook, and I don't overlook it because I have a construction background, and that's how construction technology is changing. Therefore, solutions that might have seemed economically infeasible could, with new technologies, become feasible. I've talked in the past about a western transportation corridor, interstate route. People say, well, do you know what that would cost? But I have done quite a bit of research and verified by expert sources, and I think there's some very economical solutions because construction technology is improving, and regions all over the world have to look at cost-effective ways of solving problems. So we have kind of a worldwide laboratory for that. Some of the things that the active transportation people brought up, for example, I would support more bike paths, but from a construction standpoint, I might look at how could you get through a difficult terrain economically and maybe establish some shortcuts that they wouldn't have thought of otherwise. I've heard them talk about this Rose Quarter project as a $500 million freeway project, when it's not really that. It's an urban renewal project. The construction part of it is probably half or maybe even less, but it gets castigated as a $500 million road widening project. I live in Selwood, where the replacement of the bridge there was advocated by a lot of the active transportation people, kind of being general, but we ended up with a bridge about three times more expensive than what a company had estimated earlier, and we still ended up with a traffic jam in the neighborhood. So what I'm saying is that this active transportation, they make some very good points, but it's not really the total way of looking at it, and we need to have kind of a broader base of experience in coming up with this transportation measure, because I don't want to see us end up with the real bad problem of congestion tolling. I'm afraid that's where it could lead if there's too much inexpert thinking on the solutions. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Tyler Wilkins.
Good afternoon. This is my first time giving public comment to Metro, so go me. For the record,
go you.
Yeah, right. For the record, my name is Tyler Wilkins. I am here representing Participatory Budgeting Oregon. You should be getting passed around here a joint letter of supports for the Parks and Nature bond measure renewal, as well as the more importantly, the proposal of participatory budgeting process pilot within the capital grant program. Overall, my goal here is to get y'all to hear about participatory budgeting so much you get tired of it and just say, let's just do it, let's go with it. There are several things within the proposal that really excite us that we wanted to vocalize today. Metro's strong commitment to their DEI strategy, I think, really reflects in this proposal, primarily with the focus on communities of color and getting those who have been traditionally left out of the decision-making process back to the table. We are also really excited to see this initiated by Metro due to the ability to design and implement across jurisdictional boundaries to really increase the success of a project. And then also the prioritization of diverse partnerships and community organizations, which I think is really key component in this process because it follows that narrative of we're better together and incorporates more community voice. There's one thing that I wanted to urge council to do, and is to make project outcomes as flexible as legally possible. Again, I think this revolves around that equity issue of making sure that projects that are to be chosen through PB process are reflective of the community's voices. And for my closing statements, we are really excited about the potential of a PB process in the Portland Metro region, and we thank you all for your supports. And this is just a really innovative process that is very community-centered, and we're excited to see the potential of it. So thank you all.
Thank you. Wow.
Go ahead, Councillor Craddock.
When you introduced yourself, you referred to an organization. What is that? I see these organizations on here, but what was the group that you mentioned?
Participatory Budgeting Oregon.
Oh, okay.
You'll see my signature or my sign on the
okay.
first.
Thank
first
you. There.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we're going to do the consent agenda, and then we're going to take a quick break so I can confer with our attorney. If we could, today's consent agenda consists of three items, resolution number 19-4981, resolution number 19-4979, and the minutes for the May 9th, 2019 council meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
A second.
And moved by Councillor Lewis and seconded by Councillor Stacey. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, it does pass. So thank you. So I'm just going to call a quick 5-minute break, and we'll be right back. Thanks. To order, thank you for your patience. Just needed a clarification. So we will move on to the ordinance in the second reading, ordinance number 19-1435. This ordinance is for the purpose of approving a solid waste facility franchise application authorizing City of Roses Disposal and Recycling, Inc. to operate a transfer station. The first reading and public hearing for this ordinance was for ordinance number 19-1435 took place on Thursday, May 9th, 2019. I'm going to call for a motion in a second, and then we can have some discussion if any further questions for staff. We can do it then. So do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Craddock and seconded by Councillor Stacey. We have folks here, Roy and Hyla, if we have any questions. Is there any further discussion on this specific ordinance? We had a lot of testimony last time, and I think we've heard a lot of good benefits to this project, if it were.
Well said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with that...
Yeah. I would make a comment. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be voting for this, but I just want to say a few words regarding some of the emails that I received, because this is in my district. And there were concerns about this being close to the Park Rose and the Argay neighborhoods. There were concerns about the runoff and that there would be concern about the impact this would have on the Columbia Slough, concerns about the stormwater. And I think through the staff's presentation and Mr. Simpson's presentation that all of that has been addressed. And this is not a landfill. This is a transfer station. The facility is built to make sure that the storm water is managed, that the runoff is collected, and the garbage can be there for 24 hours.
Inside.
It's not stored there. So I will be voting for this because I think that all those concerns we have addressed.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. I would just like to say that I think it furthers so many objectives that this council has laid out from stem to stern of all of the values that we hold and all the livability objectives we're trying to meet for everybody in this region, that it seems like the right way forward. So. All right, with that, clerk will call the roll.
Councillor Stacey.
Aye.
Councillor Craddock.
Aye.
Councillor Chase.
Aye.
Councillor Lewis.
Aye.
Councillor Dirksen.
Yes.
Councillor Gonzalez.
Yes.
Council President Peterson.
Aye. Thank you. It passes. With that, we are right on to any comments from our acting COO.
That we just received from Senator Merkley. And he sent a letter congratulating our Zoo Education Center team for receiving the American Institute of Architecture's Committee of Environment Top 10 Award. So it's really great to have it's a great letter and great recognition for the work that's been done up at the Education Center and with the Zoo Bond. So just wanted to make sure you all saw that. And then the second thing is just to remind you that the Pride Parade is on June 16th. Metro staff are excited to be participating in the Pride Northwest Parade again this year. We're going to step off. The parade steps off at 11 a.m. from Northwest Portland, runs along NATO Parkway on Sunday, June 16th. The RID Patrol has donated a RID truck and trailer for the float. We won't know Metro's exact spot in the lineup until later, so we're going to have canopies, picnic food, music, and lawn games to entertain everyone. And if you're interested in joining, reach out to the DEI team. Time commitment's likely to be about 10:30 to 2 on June 16th. Thanks.
Great. Counselors. Yes.
So I neglected to give our report back from MPAC last week. Last Thursday, we had a little bit of a different kind of counselor communication, and then I flat out forgot on Tuesday. But we had a really wonderful MPAC meeting on the 8th of May, so Wednesday before yesterday. And we had two agenda items, but we ran so far over our agenda time because people really dove into both. The first, we had a presentation on our community placemaking grant program. And then the second, we had a presentation from Ethan Seltzer at PSU on 2040 growth concept background and the history there. So just those two items to report back from MPAC.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Craddock.
I can babble for a minute about last night's well, Councillor Craddock is reconstructing the agenda from JPAC this morning. Last night was the fifth, I believe, meeting of the Transportation Funding Task Force. Not only was the dialogue among committee members thoughtful and focused, but there was remarkable testimony by a very large number of public participants. An organization primarily of young people and people of color, a coalition of other organizations wearing T-shirts that said Sunrise across the front, gave, I think, Commissioner Savas a momentary flutter of hope, but they were talking about a balanced transportation system, a new Sunrise that recognizes that climate change is a terrible threat to our planet, and urging both the committee and Metro to make climate its highest priority, greenhouse gas reduction from the transportation sector its highest priority in the allocation of resources. It was inspiring to be in the room and hearing these young people speak to the future of their planet.
Thank you. Yes, well, this morning was the JPAC, monthly JPAC meeting, and there were four items on the agenda. The final one we did not get to, which was the regarding the plans for the Tualatin Valley Highway. But the first discussion was the committee then talked a little bit about the meeting last night, the T2020, and similar to what Councillor Stacey was saying about just describing the evening. And I was impressed personally with the word is getting out now that this discussion is occurring and people are attending the meeting that are they're passionate and concerned and really want to and are giving input. So last night was that first time that we had quite a few people that were there to testify. And I, as Councillor Stacey said, I really was impressed with what they had to say. So that was one agenda item on the JPAC trip, or the JPAC meeting. The second one was the JPAC trip, just reviewing with the committee the details about the trip. What was being said, and I really appreciate staff's work on this because it really helped us, is that we go back and we are speaking with one voice, and we have a very specific message. And we met with each of our congressional delegates except for Congressman Walden. But the message that we had each time was, we're doing all we can to in our state to do what our part in raising adequate funds for our transportation system. We got the support of the state legislature in House Bill 2017. We are now regionally working on a transportation funding measure for 2020. But we need your partnership as a federal government to help us with this. And that was primarily the message that we spoke with each congressional delegate. And then same when we met with the USDOT, Department of Transportation, a very similar message. So the committee, the members that joined us on the trip really enjoyed it and really were pleased with they felt like we were quite successful in getting our message across. And then, so the other item on today's agenda was the discussion around emergency routes, transportation routes, and how that relates to the regional RDPO, the Regional Disaster Preparedness Organization. And Denise Barrett was there that talked about the work that's being done, and then how Kim Ellis then talked about the relationship these routes have to the work that this group is having. So we've had postponed the discussion about plans for the Tualatin Valley Highway for a later meeting. I don't know, Councilor Dirksen or Stacy, would you like to add to that?
All I would add is that there was continuous praise for Councilor Craddock's performance in the JPAC trip to Washington, D.C., keeping the cats herded and moving from office to office, and that was unanimously felt around the table. So congratulations again.
Councilor Lewis?
I forgot something. I just wanted to share with everybody the reason I was not at our all-staff meeting or able to attend T2020 last night is I was down in Salem testifying alongside Commissioner Savas and Mayor Knapp, also absent from T2020, in support of funding of 205, continuation of how we're going to get those 2017 projects completed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Earlier this week, I had an opportunity to sit at a affordable housing roundtable with Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici. It was a really great group of different practitioners and researchers. And the Congresswoman, one, applauded Metro for the affordable housing bond and also sought input on what the federal government could do to, one, clear up some policies and systems that make it difficult to build affordable housing while also investing more resources in our local markets. So that went really well. And, of course, she thanked us for our hard work, and there's an opportunity for us to continue to follow up there. For all our housing advocates. I also had an opportunity late last week to attend an affordable housing forum with the Hillsborough School District. It was a Spanish forum, and some parents showed up that live in low-income housing in the city of Hillsborough, and it was just really, really wonderful it wasn't so wonderful to learn about the challenges they have, but for them to learn about the investment that's coming down the pipeline. Was really great to see their reaction, and I'm really hoping that we can continue to deliver our promise to voters, but ultimately for those people that are looking to Metro and have faith that we can deliver, let's deliver. And so that really wraps up my comments.
I just want to thank the team that put on the all-staff meeting yesterday and the work that went on to do that. There was pretty amazing staff stories because we have some pretty amazing staff. Not hard to find a good story, but it was heartwarming and inspirational. So thank you for working on that as a team. And if you want to go down the list of folks that were recognized. I don't have the full list in my head.
Led off with a lot of it, and Stacey Coonfield helped as well. But a whole team came together to sort of form the agenda. And I would thank you as well for sharing some of your story of public service. I think it was good for the staff to hear from the council president as well. So, yeah, but the stories from staff were really inspirational.
It was not always easy, but it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. That's it. That's all. We are adjourned. Right now?